This episode is brought to you by Bumble. So you want to find someone you're compatible with, specifically someone who's ready for a serious connection, totally open to having kids in the future, is a tall, rock-climbing Libra, and loves rom-coms with vegan pizzas on Tuesdays just as much as you do. Bumble knows that you know exactly what's right for you. So whatever it is you're looking for, Bumble's features can help you find it. Date now on Bumble.
Hey, welcome back to Pagan's Witchy Corner. My name is Pagan, and as promised from the last time you got to hear the wonderful folks over at Spirit World Center, Eric and Lava, we are back to talk more about creativity in art, and we have a whole brand new topic which we're going to get deep into. And as always, thank you for joining us, and Lava, thank you for being here. Eric is also here, but probably is not going to contribute a whole lot to this because this is not Eric's wheelhouse, which is totally fine. We understand, but we still love him anyway. So welcome to the show.
Hi, everybody. Thanks so much for having us here once again. Excited to talk about this. And I'll probably be letting Lava take the lead on this because she is the expert here at Spirit-Led Creativity.
So, kind of segueing a little bit into our topic for the day, I would have to say when it comes to spirit-led creativity, for me, it's such a different experience than just doing straight art, regular art that I've done just, the purposes of creating art is always so different than spiritual art that I have, where I've done it like a channeling session or asked a spirit to come through and kind of help me. What has kind of been your experiences with that, Lava?
So, of course, spirit-led creativity can take many, many forms. My main medium is through painting and drawing, but it can translate into dance, music, theater, name it. It can be everything. And for me, so I use the technique of spirit-led art to inspire myself and to create like painting that I would never have thought of painting otherwise, or discover a new technique when I feel like I'm stuck in a rut. But another way to use it is to, bring healing to my practice as well.
I think that's a really great way to do it as well. I know that, and I may have mentioned this on the last episode that we talked, and if I did, everyone who's listening, just remember, I have the memory of Dory. I don't remember what I did this morning, let alone what I said on a previous episode. So if you hear it twice, that's why. But I do remember when I did a painting one time, I was going through some rough stuff, and I was working with one of my guides at the time, and I couldn't get past the pain that I was feeling, the emotional pain, and I was just really stuck in it. And I kept getting this, inclination, you need to paint, you need to paint, you need to paint. And I'm like, I don't want to paint. I don't want to do this. I don't want to do any of this. I want to just be in this moment and just work through it if I can. And so eventually my inclination to paint kind of won me over, and so I'm sitting there working at my easel at my desk, and I start painting this very dark and gray kind of scene where there's this tree and all the leaves are blowing off the tree, and in the tree is hanging this dream catcher and the feathers are being blown off of it, and there's just so much pain that was imbued into that painting. And I remember looking at it when I got done, the painting was gorgeous. Don't get me wrong, the painting was fantastic. But it was like so much had been lifted off of me because the spirits were moving through me and moving out all that pain that I had. And they were basically saying, you have to let go, but you can't do it emotionally. You can't do it physically. You have to do it through something else. And that was the painting.
Yeah, I think I remember you mentioning it in the other podcast.
I either mentioned it before or after. Story. I don't remember which one.
Yeah, or maybe it was after the podcast, because we talk so much.
We do.
So maybe it was off air, I don't know. But I remember that, and it is exactly the essence of using spirit-led art for healing, you know. It's like it can help you work through your emotions. Or, you know, just like you invite spirit and they lead you in your movement and in everything that you put on the paper, on the canvas. And from there, well, maybe you don't even know what you're painting. Mm-hmm. And it's after you look at what you paint and then it just answer arise from it. Or you just feel, as you know, a relief. You know, you just feel like there's a weight off of your shoulder, off out of your heart, and it's helping you moving forward in life.
I would say that's definitely true when it comes to a lot of the spirit-led kind of art and creation and all of that. And it's really interesting because a lot of times, even in like working with ritual, there will be times where, you know, as you were mentioning before with the theatrics of all that, and theatrics is basically just ceremony. It's just a different term and how it's done. Sometimes it's done in fiction form that you would see like in a play. And then there's other times where it's done ceremonially in witchcraft, where it's done for ritual. And, you know, you don on the outfit or the veil or whatever you need to do this kind of thing, and you say what you need to say. And then there are times where you will have these moments where the spirit will take something that seems so mundane, where you're just reading some lines or you're saying some lines, and even though you're in the costume or the appropriate garb for that ceremonial work, you end up having such a profound experience that you could have never begun to anticipate. And I know this happened recently because we did a large ritual with the Morgan, and especially the aspect of Bive. And, you know, I was wearing my veil and all that, and I was doing these things. And the ritual was very long, but it was also so much bigger than I had anticipated. And the movement of everything and the words and the way that they flow out of you during that moment, because they're imbued with the spirit, is so much bigger than you could have ever begun to anticipate. And when you get done with those moments, and especially even if you're doing something like painting or drawing or dancing or music, and you get done and you kind of look back on what you've done, and the only thing that can come to mind is, wow, that came out of me. And especially if you have something that is visual that you can see in front of you afterwards, the finished work of it, like art, and you get to see that experience displayed before you, it's just such a profound experience. And yeah, so when it comes to working with the spirits, what is kind of your beginning kind of how-to? So if somebody was like, oh, I would really like to try this, what advice would you recommend to them?
So, well, if we explain kind of the experience of how, you know, if you, how does it feel to do the practice? Because I think it can help then understand what to do.
Mm-hmm.
Is that, you know, you get into a trance, or maybe you're used to channeling. So it is channeling, and you welcome the spirit. So, you know, you get into that zone and you can feel the energy flowing through you. And it really feels like you're bathing in some kind of, I don't know, some kind of the water of the energy of this specific spirit.
Mm-hmm.
So let's say, for example, you know, like whale spirit, because I work closely with whale spirit. So let's say I welcome whale spirit in my channeling, in my own vessel, and I'll just, you know, let go of control and let her lead me into what I need. I will ask her just like, what do I need today, you know? And I just trust that she knows, that well spirit knows what I need, and it will just unfold in certain ways. Sometimes it's very hectic. Other times it's very soft, very nurturing. what I put on the paper, the gestual is different. And also, you know, you can ask these questions to the same question, what do I need today, to different spirit, and they will find a different way to convey this need to help you, like, find out what you need. And because we often need more than one thing, we're complex people, yes. Right? So so if I ask whale spirit, it's not like asking bear spirit or asking a deity to work with me or so on. And it can really take me to different places, you know? And so that's interesting. And sometimes what is the most, I think, important in this is to not be in your head and really go down in your heart. Because my practice is like, it's heart-based communication. And this is how I think that the most profound change can happen between ourself and the spirits when we work with them, when it's heart-based communication. It's just, like, I don't even have words for how it can be transformative as a spiritual practice. And so from there, when you let them in, and let's say you just allow yourself to not be in control, which is difficult, mm-hmm. you know? So allowing yourself to just let go and let the energy flow, and just having this shift of energy, it's helping, it's healing, because you're just kind of moving around like old stuck energy that you didn't know really how to move through, old emotions maybe, or maybe recent even stress, mm-hmm. and so on because of life. This can help just like shift the energy, shift the, like, your composition, and then you allow it to unfold. It can be on the paper sometimes. When you really, like, when you're okay to let loose, it's really fun. Because let's say, like, I would start maybe drawing something on a paper, but then I'm going to get up. I'm going to start drumming. I'm going to start singing. I'm going to go back to my sheet. And if I have a lot of anger, it happened once. Like, I was just spitting on my sheet. I was spitting on my drawing. And it was very cathartic. It was awesome. And, you know, it's really not about like the end result. It's all about the process. And it is in this process that you find the most profound healing. Sometimes even like on top of the process. So let's say it's a cherry on the top. Sometimes you have an end result and you look at it and you're like, wow, okay, I really have to meditate on this picture that I just draw. Because there's some messages for me in there that I still need to work on. And then you can put it aside, you know, or you can burn them. I burned so many paper because I'm like, no, I need to release that. You know, it's mm-hmm. some kind of, because I feel it contains a lot of energy. You know, you put all like this energy into a paper when you're working with something material, of course, but if it's just in the moment and it's the process, it's a dance and it's already, it disappeared when you're done. The dance is not there anymore. Yeah.
I find that to be very true, especially when you're working with different spirits. And now for those who are listening, I do want to preface that if this is something that you are new to, especially if you're new to trance and channeling, before you do this, make sure, A, you either have some trusted spirits you can work with, but also before that even, make sure you know how to put up your own protections so you don't have somebody try to hijack. That has happened before,
yeah.
To probably everybody who's channeled. And don't think that you're overconfident and you don't need them, because trust me, you do. So make sure you know how to do that before you do all this. But once you know how to do those protections, and they're very simple and easy to do, and you're ready to kind of work with your specific spirits, and even if you don't have a specific spirit that you want to work with, like, there are times where I have done art with what I would call a random spirit, which is very chaotic, very chaotic in some ways, because you don't know the energies, they're not familiar to you. And sometimes when you get done with them, you end up with beautiful works of art. And other times you're like, what on earth is this? And
yes,
you have to work through that. So yeah, it's really a fascinating experience when those kinds of things happen.
Oh, totally. And it is infinite, you know. It can be resourceful in so many ways to have this practice in your life, because it can, you know, help you finding inspiration when you're in a creative block. It can help you move through energy blocks that you have. It can help you move through emotions and old wounds that you mm-hmm. might have. It can help you recover, you know, find back powers. So when you feel like you're lacking power in your life and you need to kind of find back that power to feel functional again, to feel like you are alive again, this can help you too, because it's just another way to find back the wisdom or connect with the spirits so they can give you their wisdom and so you can grow. Because this is what it is all about, the trance work and connecting with spirits. So there's many, many different ways that trance work can help you. You know, it's about the communication with the spirit so you can pretty much improve your life. And it can be done, yes, by spirit-led art, but it can be done by trance work. It can be done by shamanic journeying, or it can be done by just thinking here, you know, like trance postures, ecstatic dance, soul singing. And there's just so many ways to connect with the spirits. You just have to pretty much invite them in your life and they're going to be there, and you're going to have a little extra spice to help you out with whatever you're doing. And so in that manner, the spirit-led art is no different. It's just a form of channeling or trance work that can help you connect with the spirit and improve your practice. And what I mentioned is that there's many benefits, you know, from like getting more inspiration, getting healing, recovering power, receiving messages, and just having a sense of being more connected overall with the spirit world and even the natural world as well.
I think that's very true, especially when it comes to the moments of things like, for example, soul retrieval, if you're doing it, you know, shamanic work. And if you haven't heard the previous episode, we kind of talk about shamanic work in art. But the big thing that I have found when it comes to doing art of any kind is how much, you know, we all say that art connects to the soul and it's the soul that does the speaking with art. And it's true, it does. But there are times when you'll be doing some sort of art creation and then it doesn't feel right. It feels off, or there's something that just needs to be worked through. Sometimes it's a blockage. Sometimes it's those kinds of things. But a lot of times I have found that I have not been okay enough, where part of myself has been fractured and I need to find whatever is missing to fix that. And sometimes it's being so angry at your canvas that you're splashing paint across it. And just, I have gotten so angry at one of my canvases, I busted the canvas because I was so mad of working through this and working through the rage I was feeling, because I didn't know how to fix what was wrong within me. And, you know, as spiritual beings, as spiritual practitioners, a lot of times we don't realize when we're needing something that's to be fixed, essentially. And I'm not saying fixed like, oh, you need to, you know, get that fixed, otherwise it's not going to work anymore. It's more of the things that life and everything sometimes can come in and cause such havoc that parts of ourselves can break. And then you have to figure out how it broke, how to fix that, how to heal from that. And in those regards, when you do things like stab your canvas like I did because you're so angry at it, it was such a cathartic moment where it wasn't so much about the art, it was about the practice of creating and the practice of releasing. And when I stabbed that, it was one of those moments where I was like, yes, this is how I fix that. And it just kind of all started to fall into place. And then I grabbed a new canvas, and the spirit that I was working with at the time was like, now you can paint, now you can create, you are okay. And then we created some beautiful art together. But the first canvas ended up in the fireplace because that's where it needed to go.
Exactly. And this is when, like, your creative process becomes a ritual and, you know, an act, a magical act, you know. Mm-hmm. It is very powerful to use the stabbing to end something. Even if you don't exactly know what it is about, you know that you're stabbing it and you're gonna get rid of it. And it's to trust that, you know, even if you don't know at the level that you are right now, you trust that, like, your higher self and your soul knows what it's doing. And you're just like, let's stab this thing and get rid of it.
Yeah, honestly, that sometimes has been the way of how it has worked out, to where you have to do something that seems violent and angry. And I would say that, you know, those are like, oh, that's very violent. Why would you be that violent when you're creating? And I would challenge you to ask yourself, why is violence in art not okay? Obviously, if it's done safely and it's not, you know, obviously harming others. But if you're having to create something that is a violent scene, or is something that is dark, or something that is inherently not what we are used to as humans, because as humans, we want to see what makes us happy, that's pretty, those kinds of things. That's what we want to see, because that makes our brains happy, releases the happy chemicals in the brain, and we like that. But sometimes you don't want to see that. Sometimes you want to see the dark world because of the fact that you need to see that. You need to understand it. You need to express it. For example, you know, we talked about one of the paintings earlier, but there was another one I created that everything was made of blood because I needed to paint something that was that dark. I needed to work through that. And I just had so much working through me at the time that it was... I remember when I asked the Morgan, I was like, I want to paint this. I don't know how to paint this. I don't know how to do this. I need to work through this thing. I was like, but honestly, I want to go sit in a bowl, in a like swimming pool of blood. And I don't understand why. And it wasn't so much that I needed it, this really dark experience. It was more of, I felt like I had to be almost reborn through my painting. And kind of swim through those almost like birthing types of, you know, swimming through blood and all that. And so when I got done with this painting, which was, I effectively named it the Blood Garden, because everything looked like it was covered in blood. And there was this pool in the middle of it that was nothing but blood. And when I got done, obviously I felt immensely better. But at the same time, it was like, wow, that was really dark. That was a whole lot of darkness. And when I got done, the channel message that came through for me was, you needed this. You needed to release this. And now it's there and not inside you. And so having those kinds of moments when you're able to heal through that and you're able to fix those problems and express things that you can't vocalize. Because sometimes if we vocalize things that come through the art, that's what we would call a grippy sock vacation. And those are not okay unless you need them. In a lot of ways, those are something that expressing it through the art is also a healthy release. So even if exactly. Your art is angry and, you know, looks violent, it's better to put it on canvas than it to live inside you and do damage.
Yes, and then your art practice becomes just a shadow work pretty much.
Which, you know, and it's interesting that we talk about shadow work, which we're going to do a whole episode here on the show fairly soon about shadow work. So you get to hear all about that if you're looking for more information about that. But, you know, shadow work is one of those things that it's often talked about, but it's not often explained. And in a lot of ways, the practice of shadow work is what it is. And so working through those dark moments in your life, which are your shadows, working with essentially your figurative demons is shadow work. And sometimes you have to find the creative outlets to get that out. And that would be where the art comes in, no matter what form it's in. Dance it out, sing it out, pound it out on the floor because you don't have a drum and that's the only thing you can do. Don't hurt yourself in the process of doing that, of course. But whatever it is to help you get those emotions out, because I think a lot of times too, we as humans forget that we are emotional beings. We're not just spiritual beings, we're also emotional beings. And we're taught a lot by society to repress those emotions and repress who we are as human beings and, you know, fit in the tidy, pretty little box that, you know, makes the rest of society happy. And eventually, a lot of us are not okay with that. So you have to find your own ways to do that, even if it's expressing it through art. So I guess one of my questions for you, Lava, would be, have you ever had a piece that when you got done with it and you got done looking at it, you ever just go, holy crap, I can't believe I worked through this on this canvas?
Yes, actually, there was one time I did it was not a canvas. It was actually a puppet made out of of mesh paper, and it was meant to be burned. Now, it was for a kind of a renewal, you know. Out like and throw the old self in the fire. Eric was there too, and he did one for himself. And so my intention was to just throw mine in the fire. Now Eric, before he threw his in the fire, I haven't thrown mine yet. Mm-hmm. We were outside, and he started to stab. Like really kill his old self, if you want, stab it, and like having a baseball bat and just kind of crash the dummy and it was kind of
based on the old killing the king ritual or ceremonial sacrifice. And so basically it was like, all right, this paper mache dummy, I'm going to sacrifice it before throwing it on the fire. So, yeah. And it's funny because at first, Lava was a little uncomfortable with this process.
Exactly, but yeah.
She saw me do it. And then, well, Lava, you can tell.
So, yeah. So he did it and he said, you want to do it, too? And I'm like, sure, it's so violent. I don't think I need that. I can just release it in the fire. But then I said, oh, what the hell? I'm gonna try. And I actually really liked it. I got into it. That was pretty intense. And I realized while doing it and being so intense about it, that I needed that I needed to let out this aggressivity, this aggressive energy, this killing, like hunter kind of predatory energy that I never use in my life. Because I'm usually very gentle and just for... is a little like story to say how like usually I'm just so not into any kind of aggressive mode. When I started dating Eric, at some point he wanted to teach me kickboxing, and so I had these gloves on my hand, and Eric wanted me to punch him, and first I didn't want to punch him. I really didn't want to punch him. But then at some point I did, but I actually punched his face by accident. But it didn't hurt him, but I start crying because I was really not into that kind of energy at all. And so for me, you know, this realization to be like, wow, maybe I should in a, of course, healthy way, explore this aggressive, assertive energy that I'm just never into, usually more passive and gentle person. So just this exploration led me to, be more assertive in my boundaries, telling what I really think instead of just usually freeze on spot with people. So by working through, like working a certain type of energy in other ways than communication, you know, and kind of mental, you know, like reading about how to communicate better or how to set boundaries and so on. It is more an intellectual exercise, but actually embodying this energy, inviting this energy and working that energy in another way really helped me kind of go all around full circle in my communication skill and how to set boundaries later.
I love that art is something that you can do that with. And again, this is art as a whole, that you can go from being kind of, you know, a very soft-spoken kind of individual that's, you know, only wants to express it. And then when you're working through that, it's teaching you things about yourself that you wouldn't normally have thought. And having those kind of realizations that you're able to be the kind of person that you need yourself to be as well. Like learning how to set boundaries and learning how to do those things. I think when it comes to creating and doing art in any kind of capacity, sometimes it's more about learning how to work with yourself in addition to working with whatever medium you're working with or whatever spirit you're working with. Working with yourself is just as important as working with spirits as well, because you have to learn how you are as a person and even your own spiritual energy. And art can be a really great creative way to do that and express that spiritual energy that you're learning about yourself, especially when you're a new practitioner. If you're somebody who isn't artistically inclined and you're new to the craft, learning how to, you know, work through that and kind of get in touch with your own energy while doing art as a medium is sometimes, I would say, in some ways, a better way than being, you know, meditating and trying to focus the brain, because some people can't do that. Their brains are too busy. They can't visualize. It's very difficult for them. And so finding a different outlet like art can help you get in touch with that. And, you know, Lava, you know, who's sitting here, is one of those types of beings who is a very big practitioner into spiritual communication through art, but also can do the channeling stuff. So if you're somebody who's new, I would encourage you to find different ways to connect with your own energies and the energies around you that might be not traditional, that you might read in a book that would be like, oh, you have to do this or X, Y, and Z that. Find different ways that work with you as an individual, because you are an individual. You're an incredible being. And I would say that not everybody's going to work the same. And that's the big thing about my show. And if you've been a long-time listener, you would know this, that it's practice your way. What works with your energy. And sometimes the traditional stuff is not going to be what works.
Exactly. And I think that this is so important to know that art, if you really want to feel when you create, then you have to step aside, you know, not being in your left brain, but being in your right brain. And there's actually a book about like how to draw with your right brain. So you're kind of hacking your brain to, instead of trying to analyze everything you're doing, because you can be very left brain, very, you know, strategic about what you want to create. But this isn't what we're talking about here, because we're not about the end result. It's about the process, not perfection. It's really important to realize that it's all about the process here. And let's say you're not someone that really, you don't, as you said, that let's say you don't really know where to start, or you don't know what's right for you, or you don't really channel maybe. What is good is to just be in your heart, be in connection with your intuition and move from there, and just being receptive and then let it flow. Maybe you have an image, or you just have a word. Let's say, okay, I want to work on that emotion. It can be anger, sadness. It can just be shadow self, And then you start from there and then boom, something can happen. And what I like about spirit-led art is that you don't necessarily have to invite, you know, the spirit to fully take the space within yourself, mm-hmm. but just inviting their energy to create a safe space for you to create and maybe empower you, or even maybe just kind of give you a little spark at the beginning just to shift maybe your mentality. That's enough often to start a practice and to have see a difference in your in the experience.
I would say that's very true as well, because, you know, I've met so many practitioners and so many witches out there that are like, I can't see visually through my spirit eye. I don't know how to do it. I've tried all the techniques. Nothing works for me. And then they will go and have these profound experiences through something completely different. I have known people, interestingly enough, have spiritual experiences while playing video games. And while writing a book, they will work through something, or they will have this profound thing that they've written down that they never would have thought of before. And having those kinds of experiences makes it so much easier for you to connect with the spirit world, with other energies, because you're not trying to do it in the way that's not meant for you. And so trying to figure out what works best for you is going to take some trial and error, of course. And just because you can't channel, or you can't do the meditation, and you can't sit still long enough to do the traditional ways, doesn't make it wrong. Doesn't make you broken. It makes you just different. And different is okay.
Yes. And that's the thing, is that we have a tendency in the community to focus on the vision part, like the third eye and visions. Even, you know, if it's not art, it will be in shamanic journeying, you know, receiving messages, even the dreams and so on, like having a lot of visions. But what I found the most important part when you try to connect with spirits is actually the heart, you know, to really feel within yourself, like in your heart. And it's kind of a knowledge that I have no words. And that's the thing, is that some people, they can have good visions, and sometimes it fluctuates. They don't always have good visions. I don't always have good visions.
Sometimes I have good visions either.
Sometimes I have amazing journeys, and other time it's like, wow, it felt like the connection was very, very sporadic and not yes. really there. And I was thinking about other stuff in between. I was in and out of my journey, and this doesn't work. But there's other ways to actually connect with spirits. And I think that something that's just so crucial and we tend to overlook is just the importance of the body, the importance of being in your heart, though. So that means not being in your head, because when you're in your head, this is when you think more, this is when you analyze more. And so for me, what it means when you're in your heart, you're also more in your body, and then you kind of allow all your senses to be receptive to the spirit world, and you allow everything to move and to just be in the flow and see what can happen. So it can be through drawing, it can be through painting, dancing, chanting, heck, even screaming and stabbing, apparently.
Screaming and stabbing works, honestly.
So there's many, many ways for people to kind of just feel this connection. And the body is often, I find, kind of put aside for more the head. Like, you know, when we think about psychic, we think about the third eye and so on, the visions. But really, if you take the time to just pull down and be in your heart, be in your body, even though you think, oh, I'll be more grounded, so I will have less, you know, of an out-of-body experience, for example. But if you actually try to be more spirited, so by being in your body, really focusing on your house, your vessel, and you invite more and more spirit within yourself, so much that you kind of like just have the word in French. I have a French woman here. You débordé. You kind of overflow.
Yes.
A spirit. You will feel that you're just spirit, but in your body. And so that's a very different experience. It's an in-body experience, a spirited experience within yourself instead of trying to get out. Yes.
Yes, absolutely. And the other thing too is, you know, we were talking just moments ago about having kind of those disconnected moments. If your first few times trying a different method to connect with spirit don't seem to go according to plan, just remember that everybody starts at the beginning. Even the most experienced channelers in the very beginning will be terrible at it. And it doesn't always just flow naturally. Sometimes it does, but that's very, very rare. Sometimes it's one of those things where it's a skill that you have to cultivate and you have to learn and you have to work with. And you have to put in, you know, as my husband says, the sweat equity. You have to put in those moments to where you are able to do the work. And so if you're trying to do spirit-led art and it doesn't seem to be flowing for you, it doesn't seem to be working, keep trying. Give it a while and see if it works, because it might just be one of those things where you have to build the skill up to understand, oh, I need to do X, Y, and Z to connect. And I was doing A, B, C to connect and that wasn't working. So whatever the method is, try it. Try something else. Change it up a little bit. And it doesn't make you broken if that's not your thing. If that's not your thing, it's okay. Try something else. Maybe you are a better channeler than you are an artist, and that's okay too. Maybe you're a better artist than you are a channeler. You're not broken regardless how you turn out to be.
Exactly. It's just there's so many, many ways to invite spirit in your life or to connect with your higher self and to heal. And I think this is the beauty of it all. Like there's just so many ways to explore. And sometimes you can also feel that a technique is not for you right now. It might come back later in your life. You don't know.
That is true.
And exactly. I used to be so, I love yoga when I was like in my early 20s. And now I don't do yoga at all. Like, I just don't do yoga anymore. And it's okay. And I say, maybe later in my life, it will come back. I do trance postures. This is my thing now, which is kind of yoga, but in, you know, it's just have different technique and different kind of focus. And, you know, before, I think that what is really important when you want to feel this shift inside of you, to feel this connection, is to prepare, you know, your mind and your body to be receptive, to kind of empty yourself out. And what I like to do for that, if it can help your listeners, is I like shaking. It's something that you see like all over the world. It's just shaking it off and on the rhythm of like drum. And I can do that for 5 minutes. Sometimes I need a good session, like a good 30 minutes. And I'm like, okay, I think now I'm ready. It's never the same, you know? Sometimes you just almost, you're on the verge of being very receptive. And other time you're just so much in your head that it's like a lot of work to just be in the right zone. And so my favorite three is shaking, soul singing. So just pretty much, well, I guess sing like the Cocteau Twins, you know, like you just sing whatever comes and you just let all the noise be there and you just allow the meditation, if you want. It's just you just allow yourself to sing whatever your soul wants to let out. And sometimes it's beautiful, sometimes it's questionable, angry. sad, it depends. And then I also like breath work, working with the breath to center myself before a session is also very powerful and very helpful for me. as well. So
I think that those are really great techniques. And doing the whole shaking thing, you don't have to do it to something traditional like drumming. You could literally do it to Taylor Swift, Shake It Off, if that makes you feel better. Whatever works for you to kind of get you in that zone. I've known people that their focus music is literally rap. I don't understand how they do that. That doesn't work with my brain, but that works with theirs. It calms them down. I don't understand it, but you know what? If that's their thing, good for them. Whereas me, I'm just like, nope, I need something a little calmer. Sometimes even like white noise works for me. But yeah, if you need to shake and dance and, you know, get the wiggles out, as I told my daughter when she was a child, you know, do what you need to do that. And then there are other times where breath work is really great, especially if you've heard any of my meditations on the show. You will, you know, hear me start with that breath work that kind of centers you and gets you focused for whatever we're about to enter into. If you're new to the show or you're new to practice and you would like to kind of understand what that sounds like, you can go back and check out the meditations further in the show. But yeah, those are really great techniques to kind of center you and get you ready for whatever creation you're about to do, whether it be trance work or art that is spirit led. Whatever it is, it will help you no matter what. Now we are just about out of time, so for those who are listening and you are new to the show, Eric and Lava are members of and the owners and the creators of the Spirit World Center. So do you guys want to let everybody know a little bit about that and where they can find you?
Certainly. Well, the Spirit World Center is a place where we offer lots of training in learning spirit communication, right? So learning how to do things like trance journeying, otherwise known as shamanic journeying, engaging in spirit work, so in creating a relationship with the spirits, and also spiritual receptivity, things like mediumship and channeling. And we especially offer this for people who are healers, who are or into tarot reading and such, that they can boost their practice and start connecting with the spirits in that way. That's then going to empower the rest of their healing work. And so we have the Spirit World Center. That's spiritworldcenter.com, and we also, you can find us on Instagram at spirit_world_center, and that's pretty much our main places. We also have a Facebook account. It's not actively taken care of yet, so but if you want to follow us there, then you'll be one of the few number of people who are already there, and hopefully we do something with it soon. But those are the main places to find us.
And you can also find all of Lava's art through the Spirit World website, if I remember correctly. Is that correct?
Yes.
Yes.
Yes, so her, her gallery's on there.
Yeah, if you would like to see the creations of Lava, you will be able to find all that. All the links are going to be in the show description, as always. I always include everything. And if you are also interested in checking out their show, they also have a podcast that is the Spirit World Center podcast. You can check that out. I've been on it several times. And I probably will be many more times in the future, just like Eric and Lava are regulars here on the show. And we love them. And I also love being on their show. So it's a great time every time you guys are here. But yeah, this has been amazing as always. And I've loved having you here. But everyone who's been listening, thank you so much for joining us today. Thank you so much for listening. Let us know your thoughts about the episode. Maybe tell us your favorite creative way that you like to connect with spirit. And take care of yourselves. Be kind to each other. And I will see you all next time. Bye, everyone.